When I was in college, there was a particular Sunday where after church, some friends and I went to a chicken place that was next to the church. And we ate, everything was normal, and then I decided I was going to be a gentleman and that I was going to take everyone's food up to the trash. And so I began to pile up all the trash and everything on two different trays. It was an unreasonable amount to put on a tray. And not only that, but there were also some half-full cups of soda and pop. I say pop. And so pop on the trays. And so I go, the gentleman that I am, and I'm going to walk towards the trash with both of these trays. Now, as I was going towards the trash, I had one of those moments. And I mean like the moment when you realize everything's about to fall apart. And I'm going and walking with these trays, and I begin to lose balance. And as I'm losing balance of these trays, one of those Cokes slips off and pours onto an old lady in her church clothes. Yeah, that definitely happened. Can't make that one up. And now the lady was more than graceful with me, and turns out, I actually had just gone to church with her. I don't know if that made it better or worse. I don't know. But I do know this. My friends who I was with suddenly had no idea who I was. Right? So I want to take us back for a second to those trays. Because we in life have a tendency to pile everything onto our trays. We try to carry more than we could possibly or reasonably handle in life. In our modern world, we're stretched from every side. We're asked to pour ourselves out into so many different things. Our world is busy and it's chaotic. And we pile a lot on our plates and on our trays. And we try to carry it. And at times, we kind of end up like that story, right? We make a mess of things as we become imbalanced and things begin to go every which way. And we make a mess. And as we think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, in this series, we've been saying that disciples are lifetime learners, followers, and imitators of Jesus. And if you want to commit yourself to that, to be a lifetime follower, imitator of Jesus, learner of Jesus, then we've got to ask, how do we navigate that in a world in which we are already spread so thin? And when we talk about denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily to follow Jesus, how can we do that when we have so many other responsibilities? Where's the margin for us to be able to do that? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because the answer to our problem from Jesus might surprise you. He would say the answer is rest. And that might seem like a really strange answer that Jesus would give us. And so, and we might be saying, you know, rest. I don't have time for rest. I don't have time to do that. To take that time of rest. I'll rest when I'm dead. And so this morning, yeah, you've probably said that before, hadn't you? And so this morning, we're going to look at what, and go in depth of what Jesus has to say to us on this matter. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start off in verse 5. Now, Jesus had been preaching to a crowd of Jews, probably some of them who were religious leaders and would have considered themselves to be wise and learned. And Jesus was talking about people who believed themselves to be of God, but Jesus would claim didn't really know God. And he says in verse 25, and at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father. He begins to pray in the midst of this teaching. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Now, what Jesus said here would have been somewhat controversial because he's saying that the things of God are hidden from the wise and learned, the people who thought they were of God but didn't know God. And he says, instead, these things have been revealed to little children. And so we'll come to that in just a moment. But in verse 26, it says, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. But everything Jesus has said up to this point, and if you look more in the context before this point, the actual content wasn't all that dramatic. It wasn't all that controversial. Because basically what Jesus has said is that God is what's good for the world. And as Jesus is talking to Jews, religious teachers, some of his disciples, that was not a controversial thing. It would have been assumed by them that what God's will for the world is what's best for the world. And so that wasn't controversial. People would see that in order to find balance in life, you go to God in order to find that. Is that you make him the center of your life and it brings balance, and that what he desires for the world is what's right for the world, and that the rule and reign of God is what the world needs. So that would not have been a controversial thing. But what he says next would have been. In verse 27, it says, "All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except for the Father." And then get this, this is what's controversial. He says, "And no one knows the Father except for the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal these things to." And here's what's controversial is for these first century Jews, is that they believed that the rule and reign of God was good for the world. They believed that God was what the world needed, except for Jesus said, "I'm that image of God that the world needs." And that was a really big deal. And what Jesus was saying is that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? You want to know what God is like? We look at Jesus. We want to know what God's heart looks like? You look at Jesus. You want to know what God's will is for your life and what you're supposed to be? You look at Jesus. And that's why as disciples of Jesus, we're learners and imitators of him, because we believe that he's the ultimate representation of God on this earth, and that he shows us who God is, and he shows us what we're supposed to be as seekers of God. But also, what's really interesting here, if you notice back in verse 25, as he talked about the wise and the learned, he says these things, this revelation that of Jesus is not accepted by the wise and the learned, right? These things are hidden from them. He said, but instead, they've been revealed to children. And so disciples, when we're called to come to Jesus, is we're to be like children. We're to be these childlike learners, right? Children just soak up information. They take it in. They can't help but learn and ask why and try to explore the world and try to understand what's going on around them. And we're to be like that as disciples of Jesus, as we come to him to learn from him. And so that's an important point. As we look into this text, is because disciples are lifetime learners, followers, and imitators of Jesus. We've got to have that childlike curiosity to come to Jesus and to always be learning of him. But Jesus continues on. As Jesus is the revelation of God, and that's what we're to come to him as disciples, as lifetime learners, as these childlike learners, come to him to learn. And so then Jesus gives us this invitation. And he says in verse 28, "Come to me," which again would have been radical for first century Jews, "all who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest." This idea of rest, what a blissful idea. We think, man, wouldn't it just be nice to get some rest? We talked about this on in our midweek service on Wednesdays, is that idea when we had the daylight savings time, right? We all rejoice at that hour that we're about to get back on this side of daylight savings time, which tells you we're probably spread thin and we're in need of rest. And so this idea of what Jesus offers us is rest. It's something that in our modern times feels so far out of reach. I don't know that we can truly grasp it. And what Jesus is talking about certainly is deeper than taking a nap and getting some rest, although those things can be good for us, right? But this idea of what Jesus is talking about, always promising us, we may not be able to define it well. Some people have interpreted it as eternal life only, like I will rest when I'm dead. Like that's where it comes from, because we think eternal life is eternal rest, which it is. But what Jesus is saying actually has implications for us now as disciples of Jesus and learning to balance discipleship and the modern busy life around us. And by the way, even though this was said, we're in a modern context, right, that this had real implications for their ancient context as well. Although as busy as we might feel like we are, in reality, over 2,000 years, although technology has changed and life certainly is different, humanity's problems are the same, and this was a good message for them, just like it is in our modern context. But as we think about our modern context and all the ways that we're spread so thin, being pulled from every direction, piling things on our trays until they're imbalanced and we make a mess, we realize that we live in a tired society. And maybe you find yourself being tired now, even as a disciple of Jesus, and you're trying to juggle all the things that God calls us to, along with the modern life and modern society we live in. Maybe you find yourself tired. Maybe you're not a disciple of Jesus, and you've been living this life in our modern context, and you find yourself exhausted, never finding satisfaction. So I want to ask you, are you tired? Right? Are you tired of constantly pouring yourself out and never truly finding life that you're hoping for? Are you tired of living in this society where we have to prove our worth to others, to prove that we're capable, to prove that we're worthy? Are you tired of living according to the standards of other people? Are you tired of always feeling like you've got to control the situation and put all things together? Are you tired of constantly, as you think you're in a trajectory of growth, and then you fall back into old destructive habits? Right? Are you tired of feeling drained, wiped out, burnt out, gasping for air in this modern, high-paced society? And if that's you, then Jesus has a promise to you, a promise that he made 2,000 years ago, but a promise that stands today in 2022, is that I will give you rest. And this invitation is for you to put down your own ways of seeking salvation, your own ways of attempting to save yourself in all these various aspects that we've talked about so far, but instead to lay those down at his feet and to accept his invitation, and he will give you rest. This is an invitation from Jesus for all people. This is an invitation to learn to be able to see the kingdom, to learn to be able to see God and the ways in which he's working in the world. And that this is an invitation to rest, to be at peace, to be content, and to be satisfied. But the problem is, Jesus makes this promise, but then he goes on in verse 29, and we see a challenge. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." All right, first of all, when Jesus says, "Learn from me," what he's saying is, be my disciple. Come under my teaching and learn from me. And in order to do so, and here's the challenge, in order to learn from Jesus, you've got to be under his yoke. So what's a yoke? This was much easier to explain in Enola, Arkansas. All right. So, a yoke, yeah, I was trying to explain to them what a yoke was. They needed to be explaining to me. All right, so a yoke is just, it's that piece of equipment that helps bear weight. And so with these two cows here, it bears them together. It helps them bear more weight together. Right? They might carry heavy equipment, be able to bear more weight. And so that's how you're yoked with someone together. And you know this, I'm not explaining anything new, but it's this idea of being yoked together, being able to bear more weight. And a yoke can even be a tool that's used as an individual, right? And kind of pull that put over your shoulders and be able to bear the weight on both sides helps you give that balance in order to bear more weight. And so it either will bind two animals together to bear weight, or this kind of tool for an individual. And this was a common description for Jewish teachers and how they thought of their disciples and how they thought of what they were calling people to do, is that they would take the yoke of the disciples, would take the yoke of the teacher and learn from them, become their disciple and learn to bear weight from their perspective. And as we think about that, and what Jesus is saying here in light of his promise, doesn't it seem odd? Because he's promised rest, but he calls you to take on this tool of work. Is in the midst of promising rest, he's actually calling you to do work that doesn't seem all that restful. It's this tool for bearing weight. How is that a call to rest? And as we think about that, and what Jesus is calling us to, we realize this brings to the surface a tension in one of the teachings of Jesus. And so many of the teachings of Jesus are paradoxical, right? As you think about that, the fact that freedom is found through servitude, is found through slavery to righteousness and to Christ, that life is ultimately found through death. And then this paradox is that joy and rest, Jesus would say, are actually found through bearing a burden. And that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to grasp that idea. But nevertheless, that's what Jesus says here. And then he goes on to wrap up his thought. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, what Jesus is saying here is not that following him, becoming his disciple, is going to be a carefree life of ease. That's not what he means when he says his burden is light. But instead, the promise is that if we commit ourselves to him, give ourselves over to him, that he will give us freedom by releasing us from unnecessary burdens of this life and the power to say no, and that he helps us and gives us strength to be able to bear the burdens of the cross, the necessary burdens that we're called to bear. And there is a really big difference between unnecessary burdens and necessary burdens. And so many of the things that we're often juggling on those trays of life, right? Thinking back to the story, is that so many of those things are unnecessary. So many of the burdens that we're caught up with in modern living and just our responsibilities and so many other things, and even thinking about how we think about church and how we think about God, so many of those thoughts and so many of those burdens we bear today, they're unnecessary. And so what I want to do, Colton Reinhardt's going to come up here and help me with a little illustration. And he's prepared for this. And I'm telling you, he is looking good too. Colton, I think you should be preaching today. You're looking more like the part. You look great, man. So, what I've asked Colton to do is me and Colton are going to prepare for a hiking trip. And I want you to take this and hold that bag. Is that kind of a heavy bag?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to hike. Would you want to hike 15 miles with that thing? No. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to look into the bag as we prepare for this journey, and I'm going to pull out different items, and Colton's going to tell me whether or not that's a necessary item for hiking or whether it's an unnecessary item. Can you help me out with that, Colton?
Yeah.
Yep, cool. All right. What about a baseball glove?
That's not necessary.
Not necessary, okay. Very good. How about, this is a hammock. We'll say it's a tent, though. It would, yep, very good. Okay, so, well, we'll go ahead and just keep that in. Okay, how about some Play-Doh?
That would not be necessary.
Yeah, I don't think so either, yep, unnecessary. This headlamp?
That could be necessary.
Yeah, would be very helpful. We'll keep that in. How about this water bottle?
That would be necessary.
Would be necessary, okay, very good. Then this is my favorite thing, so I hope you say the right answer. A Nintendo Wii.
Not necessary.
All right, we'll set it aside. Okay. All right, Colton, so we've taken out the unnecessary things. We keep in the necessary things, the things that are going to help us along the journey. We'll zip that back up, get ready for a journey, and tell me, would this be easier to bear on the road now?
Yes, it would.
Yes, okay, well, thank you. Let's give Colton a round of applause. Thanks, buddy. All right, so as we think about life and what we're called to juggle, is again, it's that idea that there's these things that we put on our tray, there's these things that we put in our backpack that weigh us down along the journey. And these are what we call the unnecessary burdens. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but these are things that I thought of in preparation. Is trying to earn your own salvation, always trying to earn God's love for you, right? That's always going to add this unnecessary burden and make the Christian walk that much heavier, right? Trying to live out this guilt or fear-based faith where you view God as this person who's so angry at you and always trying to trip you up and just waiting for you to fall. Like, that's not the image of God we get in Scripture. It's an unnecessary burden. Pretending you are perfect. Trying to come to church and act like all is good and everything is put together and there's no issues in life, right? This false self, projecting that false self, this Instagram self, right? That gets so exhausting. Trying to live to the standards of other people. Can we get an amen, right? We've all dealt with that. Is that we've all dealt with trying to live to other people's standards, and that can be exhausting. But on the flip side, and maybe step on a few toes here, expecting others to live to your standard can also be exhausting because we can't control what other people do. We can't force people to do anything. We can't force them to become followers of Jesus as much as we want to. We can't force our family to act like we want them to, right? And it can be an exhausting burden that we bear. And then living with an overpacked calendar. I think that's a huge one. As we think about trying to answer the call of Christ, we think, I don't even have room for that in my calendar. I don't have time for that. You haven't seen my schedule. Because why? Not because anything is wrong with what God has called you to do, but because we've not left enough margins in our calendar to be faithful and to be present in the ways that in which Jesus calls us to. And then, on top of that, whatever free time we have, and this is stepping on my toes for sure, is giving free time to screen time. And I mean where you give all of it over and you find yourself having scrolled for hours or having watched TV for hours or whatever the thing is for you or whatever your particular hobby is. Right? That those are all unnecessary burdens that add to the stress of being a follower of Jesus. Not giving us the margin, not giving us the spiritual health to be able to be the disciples God has called us to. But there are burdens of the Christian walk. Jesus does call us to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. So what are some of those burdens? Some of those necessary burdens are giving up old sinful habits, right? Jesus calls us as we are, as we've seen in the series. He calls us where we are, but He doesn't leave us where we are. He calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, follow Him. To devote time. If you want a relationship with God, which that's what we're doing when we respond to the call to follow Jesus, we're beginning a relationship. That requires us to sit with God, both individually in solitude, but also in community with one another. And devoting time to being in community, which takes a lot of work, takes a lot of commitment. Right, but that's one of the callings of a follower of Jesus. And then sacrificing our financial resources for the good of the kingdom, right, is part of that burden, is that we would come together communally to meet the needs in our church and in our communities. Serving those in need. Right? Even though that sometimes that's inconvenient, it takes away from our calendars, it throws off maybe your schedule for the week, but those are the things that we're called to do. Devoting energy to disciple making, that's the fundamental mission of what Jesus has called us to do. And He left this earth. He said, go and make disciples. That's hard. It's challenging. We can say it's a burden in a sense, but that's one of the burdens we bear. And then dealing with rejection and persecution. So all these things are the necessary burden. They're things that God has called us to bear. Jesus has called us to bear. And what we see here then, that Jesus says, come to me and find rest and take my yoke, right? There's going to be burdens to bear. Take my yoke upon you. What we see is what Jesus is saying is that freedom comes through discipline, which is a countercultural idea. That's not what we think of. We think of freedom should be free. But freedom comes through discipline. Now, spiritual freedom comes through accepting the gift of God and salvation. But I'm talking about freedom, life, satisfaction, just following Jesus day by day. It comes through discipline. Ruthlessly eliminating the unnecessary weights in our life that weigh us down. And a daily bearing of the weight of those necessary things in life that God has called us to. Is this discipline of being a disciple of Jesus and learning from Jesus and how to carry out those things in a loving and graceful way. Now, as we think about a real life example of how freedom comes through discipline, you think about driving. If you want to learn how to drive, you don't just jump in the car and go, although I know some parents who have done that with their kids, and you always got to watch out for those. But driving gives you a lot of freedom, but it takes going and learning to drive the car to go. As you think about those who fly planes, me and Cassidy went to the Air Force Museum last week and there in Dayton, and just amazed by just the complicated nature of planes and all the various control panels and everything so complicated. Well, if you want to learn to fly, it's discipline, it's learning, it's studying, it's growing. And ultimately, you get freedom by learning to take... learning to do those things. So, the burdens of the cross, and here's what I want us to walk away with, that the burdens of the cross, these necessary burdens, are not meant to weigh us down. They're meant to enable us to have life, to fly, to flourish, to thrive. Here's an unknown source. An unknown source said this. He said, the feathers of a bird weigh it down, but they also enable it to fly. That's how we should view the burdens of the cross. That doesn't mean that we're never going to grow tired, that we'll never be weary, that we're never going to be worn out. But it does mean that when we get into that state, that we turn to Jesus, that we constantly and daily and consistently come to the feet of Jesus so that He can fill our cup, fill us with His Spirit, to empower us to go out and be the people of God on this earth. As we go about bringing God's will on heaven or in heaven or in on earth as it is in heaven. Right, that Jesus is the source of rest for this world. That even while we're working, even while we're advancing the kingdom, that we would be people of peace, people of joy, people of satisfaction, and people of rest. It doesn't mean it's not challenging. It doesn't mean it's not difficult. But day by day, we come to the feet of Jesus to learn from Him and study and meditation and reflection in times of fasting, in times of worship together, in times of reflection, in times of spiritual conversations with one another, in times of going out and making disciples, that those are all places where we come to Jesus and we learn from Him. And He empowers us to go out and to bear that burden. And that these are all places where we come to Jesus and find rest. So, are there burdens to bear? Yes, but it's those very burdens that teach us and enable us to thrive and fly as God intended. This morning, as we end this series, as we come to a close on the series on being a follower, I hope that we have expanded the understanding of maybe you're not a disciple, that you've thought about these things. You've thought about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And if you are, I hope we've said some things that have empowered you in your walk. But maybe you need to come to Jesus. Maybe you need to come and to accept His invitation as we've seen it this morning. An invitation of rest and an invitation of empowered work, taking His yoke, learning from Him, becoming a lifetime follower, imitator, and learner of Jesus. You can do that this morning. Maybe you're here and you've been at this for a while. Maybe you've been on the road, you've been on the journey, but maybe the backpack's got heavy because we've taken on these unnecessary burdens. And you want to respond today, or you want to reach out to someone. Listen, the invitation is always open. This church is full of spiritual mentors, elders, ministers, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who really do care about you and every day are thinking about how to help this church grow. Any of us would love to sit down, whatever the burden you're going through, whatever struggle it is, sit down and pray with you. Maybe that's today. Or maybe you haven't quite yet started this journey. You've not made that commitment to Jesus. You've been coming for a little bit, learning kind of about who Jesus is and what His work means for the world and what that can mean for your life. Maybe you want to learn more about that commitment. We would love to sit down with you, look at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to commit to Him through faith, repentance, and baptism. And maybe you're ready to do that this morning. Maybe now is that moment that you want to commit to Him. And I can tell you this, that every single person in here would be rejoicing and celebrating with you. If you would like to respond to Jesus' invitation to come find rest, please come as we're singing.